You are listening to the Photo Bomb Podcast with the world's greatest photographers, Boo Ray and Gary.
Welcome to the Photo Bomb Podcast. My name is Boo Ray Perry, and joining me as always is Gary Hughes.
I am here.
I'm thinking this is the last episode before Christmas, and that we probably won't have a Christmas episode.
Shouldn't we have a Christmas special, like Emmett the Otter or something? You know, that would be a Boo Ray and Gary Christmas.
Emmett the Otter?
It's a stupid thing from like the 80s my wife watches every Christmas. It's Emmett Otter's Christmas
Speaking
special.
Of stupid thing from the 80s you watch every Christmas, right, because you just put it in my head, I saw a post you put on Facebook this week. You have a little problem with the Polar Express?
It is a horrifying movie. This is like the Polar Express, which probably definitely not the 80s, definitely in the 2000s. This is a movie that was made in probably 2004, 2005 from a very beloved children's book and has become a holiday classic in many people's homes, including mine, where it gets watched every year. And every year, I cannot get over the horrific nightmare of the uncanny valley of those dead-eyed little children. It's just a nightmare. I'm serious. I had a bad dream about it last night. Like, it was like, so I posted on Facebook, and apparently I'm not the only one that feels this way. And not only that, but at the end, spoiler alert, it's a 15-year-old movie, so shut up. Spoiler alert, they meet Santa at the end, and he's skinny. Like, skinny Santa makes me uncomfortable.
He's not super skinny, but he's not super fat either.
Okay, he's like 10 pounds on me, basically. Yeah. He's not, like, skinny. He's not like Ichabod Crane.
Santa's on the keto diet.
Yeah, he's got a dad bod, basically. Right. Santa with a dad bod.
Here's what I find interesting. I picked up the book. Have you ever looked at the book?
No, I picked up the book
in the store the other day and flipped through it because this movie is a big classic for us. We watch it every year. We're going up to the mountains for Christmas this year. We're going to ride the Smoky Mountain Railroad on the special Polar Express edition where they serve you cookies and hot chocolate and people ride in their pajamas. Big deal. I picked up the book. Here's the book. Here's how. It was Christmas. A train came to my house. We got on the train. We rode through the mountains. I saw Santa. He gave me a bell. It still rings. The end. That's the entire book, Gary.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing. The movie is, I mean, I don't know how they made the movie from that book. I mean, everything. There's no conductor in the book. The hot chocolate is one page. It just shows people serving hot chocolate. There's no bum on the train. You never see the kids and they never talk. You never see the face of the child protagonist. The elves thing doesn't happen. The present conveyor, but none of that is in the book. The book is just big pictures and little tiny captions. And it's like the entire trip is literally two pages in the book, and then they're there.
Sounds like a perennial holiday classic to me.
Well, I don't understand how it became a holiday classic because I really don't. When you read the book,
it sounds
you're like
creepy.
If I read it, I'd be like, "There's nothing here."
It does sound incredibly creepy. As a parent, I'm like, a train just shows up at my
house. And your kid just gets on the train. I've told you a million times about stranger danger. And you just walk on out and get on the train with some creepy Tom Hanks dude in a bushy mustache.
Yeah, the book could have gone either way. It could have been, hey, we met Santa, got a magic bell, and everything was fine. Or he killed us all and turned our skin into clothing. Like, it could have gone.
I spent 12 years living in an underground bunker with a guy who has six wives.
It's a headline on CNN, 50,000 children released from North Pole dungeon.
Yeah, so the book is quite shocking if you pick it up and you're used to the movie.
Yeah, no, I don't think I want to go anywhere near it. This has been done. The research has been done about computer-generated graphics with chimpanzees and how they react to it. So they have what's called, if you're not familiar, listeners, the uncanny valley, which is the difference between like where a cartoon stops being a cartoon and gets to the point where it's completely 100% realistic. And there's that dip in there. And people freak out. Like, they react very negatively when it looks really close to human but not quite there.
Right.
And it's a very deeply ingrained thing in the human mind, and even in other, you know, sort of sentient animals like chimpanzees, like they freak out and get violent if you show them a CGI chimpanzee. Like, you show them Curious George cartoon, they'll watch it. They love it. You get a little too close to realistic, but not quite there, and they can't handle it.
So when they watch the last Star Wars film, the minute Grand Moff Tarkin comes on screen, they're like, ah! throw the feces.
It's actually on Rotten Bananas. It got a very low score because
by
of
the
that.
Chimpanzees. The minute Grand Moff Tarkin shows up, he's just a little bit not quite human.
Yeah. So we both, speaking of which, we both did see Star Wars.
Yes.
This weekend. And we're not going to give any reviews or spoilers, because, you know, or anything like that. But I do have to tell you, my basic feeling about it is that so much happened in it that I have to see it again to know how I feel
yes.
about it.
Yeah. Well, that was the way the first movie was. And I thought the middle was a little slow, but it redeems itself, I think, very nicely at the end. It was very redeemed, but it was too long. It was 2.5 hours, and there, you and I both agree there was an entire section of the movie that could have just been taken completely out, and we wouldn't have missed it one bit.
Not a bit. Yeah. No. But it was it felt the least like a Star Wars movie to me. You know what I mean? It was different. It didn't have the same cut and dry sort of punchiness and the motion. It had a different kind of rhythm to it, but that's great. It's a good entry.
Oh, it was, you know, fun. Again, yeah, it was definitely good.
It's a movie.
One thing I did think. One thing I did think though was it was also extremely action oriented. There were not a whole lot. I mean, when it was time for us to have a serious conversation, that conversation would last about 10 seconds, and then it's back to, you know, something being blown up or the tension of the moment. I would have liked to have seen more exposition. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, I would like a little more coffee talk with my Star Wars, please.
You know, can we have a little bit more coffee talk? And I was surprised at a certain thing that Leia does in the film. And I was like, that's bull. But then I was thinking about this morning in the shower, which, you know, really you shouldn't be doing when you're in your 50s and you're thinking about Star Wars in the shower. That right there is a problem.
Yeah, we're already off the rails.
Yeah, but I thought, man, it's been like, what, 20 years or something? Since
30.
Since the last time we saw her.
You don't know what she did in 30 years.
And she does,
she probably went to a CrossFit gym and got
and
super
perhaps
buff.
And perhaps spent a little time with her brother and perhaps you know so.
All right,
yeah.
we're getting too close. We're getting too close. We got to let it go. We got at least another week
so,
before we
so
can
now
talk
when
about
I think
this.
Of it that way, I'm like, "No, okay." And also, when you think about her demeanor, Gary, her demeanor. I think she's so Mother Teresa-like and so warm and so – in both of the movies, she's so very nice. And when you think about the feisty, fighting, give me the blaster Leia, and now you think about this Leia, and you go, these are not the same person. But then you think, well, what if, you know, she – I mean, Obi-Wan Kenobi was a very calm guy. So, you know, perhaps over time, you would,
you would learn. You're going down the hole, man. You're gone.
You would learn over time as you got older and perhaps – underwent some training, he would learn how to control your more base instincts. So that made me, then I became okay with the thing that I'm not at all giving away.
Good. And so that was our stuff.
I really haven't. You know as well as I do. If you haven't seen the movie, I have not given. You may think you know what I'm talking about, but believe me, you don't.
You have no idea.
Yeah,
no,
believe it's, me, it's, what it's I'm talking about is not, any, it can't the, be possible what you think I'm talking about.
So interesting in, just heard, was listening to the news this morning and box office numbers. It was, the second largest opening in a movie in North America in history, beat only by Force Awakens, which was the last Star Wars movie. So that's, I think Disney and Lucasfilm, they think they did okay. And now Disney has purchased 21st Century Fox,
yes.
Which is gives them a 60% stake in Hulu. They're going to have all of the rights to the X-Men movies and all that stuff that they didn't have before. So
now we can bring the X-Men into an Avengers film.
All of our nerdy dreams are going to come true thanks to Disney. All hail the mouse.
I will say this, though. As much as I enjoy Star Wars and I love Star Wars and everything, I will say that I don't think any of the Star Wars films they're making now really compare to the level of quality that we're getting from the Marvel Universe films. The Avengers films and the latest Thor film, I just really think those movies are more enjoyable.
Yeah. I'm hot and cold on them. Yeah, there's some that I'm not crazy about, but I always don't like the ones that everybody thinks are the best ones.
Really?
So, yeah.
I think Captain America Winter Soldier is the best one.
I think that's a great one. That's the one I like. Right. I thought Civil War was just okay for me.
Well, you know, when you get to the point where you're like, we need to try and have 18 people in here with superpowers, it's starting to get to be much.
We call that the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen effect.
Yeah, there you go.
Remember that movie? Yes. That terrible, terrible movie.
Also based on a comic book.
Yeah, which the comic book's great, but some things just in the medium, they it's really hard to shoehorn something into a movie that's like a comic book series over like a 10-year arc, and then you try to cram it into a movie. It's not always good.
All right,
but
we have to talk about photography.
I was just gonna say, but we also have some news in the photography world.
Okay.
Released, I just saw this on my news feed this morning, and released was a photo of the royal family's Christmas card. So in royal news.
Hello. Which is great, because just last night we were watching The Crown on Netflix, and we're up to the point where Princess Margaret starts dating Lord Snowden, who is a photographer. And there's a scene, you know, where she comes to have her picture taken, and he's taking the picture with constant lighting, and it's this kind of intense moment of quasi-seduction. And, of course, all I'm doing is looking at the lighting. The whole film, you know, they're having this whole cat and mouse dance, and she's uncomfortable, and everything's building up the tension. And I'm thinking, that's horrible. That's horrible lighting. You need to move that about 10 degrees to the right. What are you doing? Look at her left eye. Your left eye's not, you can't see your left eye.
He has clearly not been coached for this.
Clearly, this is not going to be a good photograph.
So I'm looking, I saw it, and the thing is, you've got the Duke and Duchess of whatever the hell, the Windsor, Duke, I don't know, the
Windsor,
Prince,
I think it's
Princess.
Windsor.
It's Duke and Duchess of Windsor, and they're beautiful, perfect children. The photo is just them all standing there on a white background, and I swear to God, you could do this at JCPenney.
I was not impressed with it at all. You know, part of me said, well, you know, well, this is great because I could clearly do this with no problem, which makes me of a caliber and level high enough to take pictures of royalty, obviously. I didn't realize I was so good because I can do this.
I'm sure that, but these people live in the spotlight. Everybody freaking loves this family. And I know 50 photographers that could just knock that out of the park if given the opportunity. Do something really, really cool. If you are the Duke and Duchess of Windsor, you're the heir to the throne of England, of Great Britain. Don't you think you could just make a call and maybe get somebody like, I don't know, Annie Leibovitz or somebody to do your Christmas card picture? I would get the best photographer that I could throw my millions at, and I would do a Vanity Fair Christmas card cover shoot. I mean, just to like a something that would look really, you know, cool. But I guess it's like they just kind of want to keep the expectations low for next year.
I mean, it's just, it looks like if I set up a photo booth, white background setup at a big event, and I just had every family who showed up walk in and stand in front of me for a second. Let me pop, pop, here you go. Thank you. And move on. You know, it's that quick. And not to
besmirch
the photographer, because it is well lit and everything's great, but I'm with you. Couldn't we have done, like, did you get a Christmas card from Rich Newell and Christie this year?
No, I'm not.
Did
on
you
their
see
list.
It did you see it on Facebook?
No, I'm not friends
okay
with them on Facebook.
But that's an what but that's an example of that's a Christmas card that's like, hello, that's a photograph, you know, and you expect that from your photographer friends, but this was just...
Oh, I have seen
this. This picture would have been okay if she was wearing, like, reindeer antlers and he was wearing funny pajamas or something.
Yeah, okay. Go with the theme.
In which case, what the people are wearing is the funny thing or cool thing about the picture, and then you want to just shoot them on white. You know, that's what I did last year with my Christmas card. But if it's just going to be us standing here, well, I don't... And the little boy, it's not even a good picture of the little boy. Did you only have one shot?
Well, he is probably a jerk. I'm just going to... I'm just... Law of averages at that age, with that much privilege, the kid's probably a real pain in the ass. I'm just saying.
Right.
You know, I don't think that they get much time with these things, but if they're not prioritizing, I can't help them. But all I know is I know lots of photographers that could have done something really cool. But, you know.
But it is Kate Middleton. Is this Kate Middleton?
That is Kate. Oh, yes, that is Kate Middleton.
And I feel the same way that you when you just the way you just said yes. Yeah. And this is a woman who is put together. in this portrait. I mean, one thing I do love about the royalty, when they get dressed, everything is so prim and perfect and form, and it's just, yeah. You know, it's like...
You're not going to see the Duke of Windsor in an Affliction t-shirt, no. You know?
No.
He's not phoning it in.
But the men always wear a suit. Okay, a suit is fine. But the women, they always wear these dresses that are a little bit of a throwback to, you know, 1950s type attire. Well, they're very,
it's very
prim,
like,
very
Audrey Hepburn.
Yes, thank you. That's a wonderful... And she just looks lovely in it, and the family looks lovely too. But yeah, maybe we could have done something a little more special, but you know, maybe this is one of those things where the way they think of it is, how many times a year do they have to have their official portrait done? To them, maybe this is a toss-off.
Yeah.
You know, the Christmas like, portrait is a toss-off. It's not nearly as important as the one we have to do for Easter, and the one we have to do for the official stationery, and the one we have to do for this, and the one we have to do for that. You know, it may very well be that to them, this portrait was no different than going out and taking a picture with your iPhone. And they took this portrait, when they were having some other portraits done. That tells you how unimportant it is to them.
Though this guy, okay, I found the photographer. It's Chris Jackson, and I think he works for Getty.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah, well, let it go. You know, just get a better family picture, rich people. Jeez Louise.
Well, you know it's going to be so distributed and so looked at that, you know, it's like an album cover. Put some thought into it.
So I had something this week that I hadn't done in a long time. Photographically.
All right.
I had a lingerie shoot.
Really?
Yes.
A lingerie shoot or a boudoir shoot? Was this like magazine?
Well, this is for a model, not for like a wife getting something nice for her husband.
That's not fair.
And I mean, I really, it's a different animal, isn't it?
I don't even do them anymore.
Yeah. it's approaching something that, because there's other things that I do so much I could do them in my sleep,
right?
You know, and so I did my homework. We took the job, and I did my homework. I was on all these different websites that do this type of stuff, looking for sort of a theme, and I found that there's a real difference. There's two types of this photography. There's types of this photography that you can clearly tell was done by a man for a male audience.
Okay.
And then there's that's taken clearly by a woman or a sensitive man for a female audience, because just there's a difference in how you direct and get women to pose and do stuff. And it's like, it's almost like Sports Illustrated is almost a comical like class in this is how dudes want to see women. And it's very...
Yes.
It's not as powerful. It's more diminutive. It's, you know, and then you look at something like Victoria's Secret. They're standing there in their underwear, but they look like they could be wearing a power suit.
Right.
You know, there's like they're really sort of it's softer and it's more empowering, and it's really interesting to sort of see to try and approach it that way for me. And I probably fell somewhere in the middle. But it's hard, man. Like, 'cause you realize that you're dealing with somebody's almost naked body,
right?
And trying to and even if somebody is in amazing shape, you can still make them look real bad if you don't know.
Oh, what you're absolutely. Doing. It's not hard. It's not hard to make them look bad.
Yeah. So I luckily I had a good like I put together a little posing guide for myself, and I just sort of rocked through some poses, improvised a little, came out. I'm pretty happy with it. To the boudoir and these photographers, they make it look easy, but it's not an easy thing. That is a muscle that I need to work out a little bit.
Well,
what were you
shooting? Studio? Was it like studio full length, white backdrop kind of stuff for catalog?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Well, and that's even harder, I think, than, you know, working with a bed in a hotel room where you can do the creative focus pictures, and it's all about much more about mood and feel. I mean, yours is more about, I need to show off the lingerie, that sort of thing.
Yeah. It was like posing, lighting.
Oh,
no
okay.
Props.
So now they're a product model, and that's, you know, ooh.
Yeah. That was, that's what I'm saying. You got nothing to work with.
So she wasn't she wasn't like that Chinese model, video that I love where the,
oh, that's like a thousand
where she does
poses
a thousand
in
poses
seconds.
In 15 seconds. I love that woman. Which, by the way, which I told my wife she has to learn how to do, because my wife, we're about to head up to the mountains for Christmas. And, you know, I'm just taking my little Fuji with me, my little bitty kit with my little Fuji, take some fun pictures, fun family pictures, and that's it. You know, I am off. And then my wife, who sells clothing for a living, in addition to four other companies that she pretty much runs, she's like, hey, I was thinking while we're up there, it'd be a good opportunity to get some new promo shots, you know, for me, you know, in a different environment in the mountains. And you don't have to if you don't want to, but, you know, if
but you totally have
could
to.
Could you maybe bring your kit and take some? And of course, I'm like, sure, honey, I'll do that.
You couldn't do that with your Fuji?
I could, I guess, and I'm still knocking around lens, the idea, really. But it's a very wide lens. Yeah, it's a very wide lens. But, I mean, you only
That's why you got to get something like the M5. I can take that. I could do anything with
right,
that camera.
Right, right. Yeah, but the M5 is, I can't really put it in my pocket.
You could if you broke it in half.
Yeah, if I broke it, yeah. So I'll put together a small kit. I mean, I won't have to take a backup camera. I won't have to take maybe two lenses and
just when I thought I was out,
they pulled me back in.
They pulled me back in.
Yeah. Well, part of what's fun for me on a trip like this is that I want to go and take pictures of the mountains, and I want to not have my camera, because having my camera is a very much a safety net for me. If you give me my camera and tell me, put me anywhere and say, take good pictures, I can do that. But when you give me the right. little Fuji and put me somewhere and say, take good pictures, well, now it becomes a challenge. It becomes more fun for me. You know, to try, you know, right. it's more satisfying when you get a good picture. Like taking a good picture of my daughter in the middle of Universal Studios with the Fuji, a little more tricky. With my Canon, no problem. I'll slap on the 70 to 200 millimeter lens at F4 and stand about 50 feet back from her. And no matter where I put her, she's going to look fine. You know, right. but you can't do that with the little Fuji. And so it's much more challenging and as a result, more fun for me. And it gives me something to occupy my mind while I'm standing around waiting for the girls to eat cotton candy or whatever the hell they're doing. And so, you know, so to me, it's just it's a fun day of experimentation. But I don't think I think we're just going to have to take the gear.
So I started, speaking of my M5, I was at, we went to Disney the other day to do pictures with Santa. We did our family.
I saw that.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's definitely not the super quality that you get if you really went to a boutique studio, but they got a great Santa Claus at Disney at Hollywood Studios, and he's there's hardly a line. Like there's the place where people go in Orlando the most, the best Santa that everybody goes to is at the Mall at Millennia, and it's like this massive bougie all metal and glass mall, and the whole big rotunda in the center is Santa's Winter Wonderland, and it's about a 4 to 12 hour wait sometimes.
That's ridiculous.
For Santa Claus. Yeah, and you well, they got a system now where you go and you check in, and then they text you when you're up, basically, and then you go get in line. You still end up standing in line for about an hour, no matter how you do it, but you got to go and check in. And anyway, so we go to this place, and they turn one of the storefronts into at Hollywood Studios into a little Santa's workshop with like amazing elf costumes, and they have a big old bench, and Santa's there, and the whole family can sit on the bench with Santa Claus. And it's and we waited in line for like 20 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah, and we have the photo pass, which is amazing photographically. They use Profoto lights, and they light the whole room. You can't see lights anywhere because they're stuck up in the shelves above stuff, and they're just lighting the room with Profotos.
Constant lighting and or flash?
It's a flash. It's strobes. Okay. So they've got, I mean, they must have a million Profoto lights, but they have just like 4 Profotos hidden around the room up in the corners, bouncing off the walls, creating just a kind of a good flat can't go wrong light. And we have the little photo pass, so you swipe your magic band, and I'm telling you, it was 10 minutes later from having we had those pictures in our account with our photo pass right. already online, and we're downloading them and posting them on Facebook 10 minutes after we took them at the Magic Kingdom. At Hollywood Studios.
I had a photo booth at a client's Christmas party last Friday, and for the first time ever, my printer would not work.
Oh no!
It's the first time it ever happened. Well, I started up the photo booth and I printed maybe 3 or 4 pictures, and then it said I was out of paper and out of ink. And I use a high T printer, and you load in the new paper and you load in the ink.
High T.
And they the problem with high T is that it used to be the ink came in a cartridge and you just slap the cartridge in, and then they started doing it to save the environment, they give you a cartridge that's a half a cartridge, it's a shell, and you have to thread the ink roller thing into this and then put it in. Well, that was the beginning of the problems. And so I did that and I couldn't get it to work, and then I put another one in and I finally got that one to work. And then this place was JP Morgan Chase. It was the fastest I've ever seen, the most people I've ever seen, and we blew through 330 prints in 2 hours.
Holy crap.
Yeah, 2.5 hours we blew through the entire roll. So then I go back to the other role. I couldn't get to work, and I couldn't get it to work. And it was 30 minutes till I was supposed to shut down, and I couldn't get it to work. And the folks there could not have been nicer about it, and they were fine, because I was like, well, you guys broke a record. I printed 350 prints in 2.5 hours, and I'm so sorry. And they were super nice about it. But also, I've had the printer for almost 10 years. I think maybe it's time to move to another one. I'm looking at a DNP has a really nice one. I'm thinking I'm going to wait till the convention in January, maybe get a show special on it. But the bigger question is, and I put a poll on Facebook about this, is it time to stop printing in the photo booth? Is it time to instead move to a situation where you come in, you have your picture taken in the photo booth, and then you input your phone number, and zip, it goes straight to your phone?
There are those booths out there that already do that.
Yes,
and I've had them, and there a lot of them are even iPad based.
Yes,
there's an app called Mash Booths that's basically turns your iPad into a photo booth.
Yes,
people love that. I think that. As photographers, we're like, oh, prints, you got to have prints. And I love having prints, but people want the digital version. If they do want to print, I mean, do you get asked for people if they want the digital version as well?
Sometimes they do. Sometimes they add. They'll say, yeah, and they'll ask if they can have it. I think maybe what I don't want to do is have to do a transition where I have to buy a new printer, which is going to cost me $500. I have to buy a new Dysub printer and then also add on the ability to send to your phone. So now I have both, and that's great. But really, I'm trying to transition to not having prints at all, because that's just one more link in the chain that can break down. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so now I've spent $500 on a printer that's going to be used twice before I don't use it anymore. I don't want that. So
well, there's practically automated photo booth setups now. Like, you know what I mean? You just sort of... You barely need an operator at some of these things to reload the film strips or whatever.
But the other problem with like the iPad based ones is they're very limited in scope and how big of a picture you can take and that sort of thing. And with a job like the one I was just doing, the reason we were blowing through prints is we were getting entire departments coming in, 10 people who wanted a picture of all 10 of them in one picture.
Right.
Well, you need a photographer who can back up with a wide angle lens to shoot that. They're outside the paper. They don't care though. They want the picture of everybody. You know,
right.
So I kind of want to keep the idea that we have a photographer, because you can buy a laptop and a SIM card on your laptop.
How much do these printers cost?
The printer that I'm going to get is $495.
Okay, that's nothing.
Well, it's not nothing, except that if I only use it once or twice, I'll feel like I wasted that money.
Right, but you would be the only, if you've got a photo booth business going, you could conceivably be, over a little bit of time, the only one who... still
offers prints.
It's not like, I think the demand may lessen or change, but it seems to me that would be a good thing to be able to offer. And for $500, if you book one job, it's going to pay for itself easily.
Right,
you know?
Right. So I'm thinking probably, unfortunately, but right after this happened, I'm like, well, I don't have the photo booth booked yet at anymore after this event yet. So maybe I'll just go ahead and make the switch. And then from now on, when people come and ask me about it for bar mitzvahs and stuff, I'll say, well, you know, it's digital. The kids would rather have it in their phone anyway. And then that day, I had a client sign a contract and they want the photo booth. So now I may have to go buy the printer just for this one thing. But, you know, I might be able to get the old printer to work for one more, but I was so worried that it would break down on me again that I would probably spend the money and buy the second printer.
There's some really interesting ones. There's a one in our town where they exclusively shoot on green screen,
mm-hmm.
and then they can and it extracts the photo immediately, drops in whatever background the company paid for.
Right.
And then like if they want photos with like a company logo in the city of Orlando or whatever, they can get that instantly and then print one off and send them digitally.
I'm considering that as well. Because I get asked about green screen from time to time, but I think green screen is kind of stupid for the most part, because if it's a photo booth and you're closing in on people's faces to really get expression and fun, you don't really see much background. So if you have a green screen, and this is what I tell my clients who ask me about it, I'm saying if we have a green screen, we're going to back up so much because the green screen becomes the thing now. You want to see that it's the cover of Sports Illustrated or whatever it is, and you end up with the people look really, really small. You know, and I'm like, my photo booth should be about the faces and the people, and that's how I've always sold mine. That's why I've never done green screen. But also, I never did green screen because it was one more step in the process. I would probably need another operator. I mean, I have two different photo booth softwares, and one of them actually has green screen extraction. But now I'd probably need another operator just to monitor the computer and handle that and get the prints out. And for me, it's always been about speed. because it's always a bar mitzvah where the thing is swamped with kids, or a situation like the other night where it was 350 prints in 2.5 hours. And to me, it's always been about speed. Step in, oh, great, smile, click, bam, your picture's going to come up right there. Who's next? It's just
how
that fast.
About, have you ever had or seen, and I saw this recently, a selfie booth?
Hmm.
Now, this is basically you go and you set up like a cool background with
right.
lighting.
Right.
And then like constant lighting. And then that's just a place for the kids to be able to go and take selfies.
I thought about that. I thought about what if you set up a thing with constant lighting and then you could set up some sort of a clamp where people could just take their phone and stick it in the clamp and they could take a selfie without actually holding their phone.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. But even just to have the lighting in the place for them
but
to
I don't
do
think
it,
the lighting's enough. You would need something else to make it attractive other than just, hey, we've got lighting here, because I don't think the kids care, kids or the parents really, adults care that much about the lighting. There would need to be some
well, you,
other
you
draw.
Know, there's a bunch of ways you could do it to create a custom background, something decorative or something like that looks like one of those red carpet drops. And you can print custom backgrounds with like Colorado Timberline or a number of other companies for $100.
Right.
You know, and you could put like, you know, little, you know, what's his face's bar mitzvah,
right.
and make like a Hollywood style backdrop and things for them to like a red carpet type of backdrop, and then add the lighting and make it look really cool, and that would be kind of it. And you set it up, and then you just go pack it up at the end.
Yeah,
there's no operator necessary.
Yeah, that's a thought. Just sell it as a separate product. We also, by the way, we also do a selfie booth where we order a custom backdrop, like a red carpet backdrop for you, and set up constant lighting, and then people can just take their own pictures there all night long. And it's half the price of our photo booth.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's
because it doesn't require an operator. And
yeah, and it sounds dumb. I know that there are probably tens of photographers listening just rolling their eyes, but seriously, one, every single one of you takes selfies probably almost every day, and second, kids have none of the stigma against selfies that adults do. People who grew up in the generation before smartphones, before cell phones at all, we almost feel a little bit abashed about it sometimes, about the selfie thing. But
yeah,
for kids,
it's self-indulgent.
It's just part of their world.
Yeah.
It's just literally what they do. Google has designed the new Pixel 2 phone to, you can say, take a selfie, and it will take, it goes 3, 2, 1, bam, and takes a selfie. They put a voice function in to take a with the word selfie in it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how pervasive this is. What a cool opportunity.
So great they finally did that 4 years after Samsung did it.
Yeah.
My phone's been doing that, the last two models of my phone. I can hold
can
up my phone and just say,
selfie?
Smile, or cheese, or shoot it. Or you can just hold your hand up, and when it sees your hand, it knows to start the timer.
Right. Like, that's not new technology. I'm talking about the vocal
the
command.
The word selfie.
The word selfie
right.
in it.
The word selfie.
Right? Like, it's like, take a selfie.
So let's talk about lighting. What kind of lighting do we put on that? Like, flat panel LED?
You could put, I mean, you could probably do it relatively inexpensive. I know Photogenic has some ring lights that would work. You could use some, like, sweet light constants. And there's even some relatively inexpensive LED lighting that makeup artists use a lot. I mean, you could probably spend $200 or $300 on a couple of just, you know, constant lights with small soft boxes, and it would be fine. Because, you know, it doesn't need to be super, super bright. It just needs to be soft and flat.
I'm liking this idea more and more the more I think about it. I'm liking this idea of creating that as a product, that it's the selfie station, where we come in, we set up a custom backdrop, that, you know, like a step and repeat for you that you order, we order for you. Probably, what, $100? What cost
what,
for that?
What
to
you...
order the step and repeat, you think?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you could get an 8-foot by 10-foot sweatshirt material custom printed background from Colorado Timberline, which is where I've made mine in the past. I think it's like $130 or something like that.
Okay, so you get that, and then you get a couple of lights and set them up and sandbag them so they don't get knocked over easily. And nothing to hold yourself on. You're going to let them selfie it, or are you going to put up...
It's a selfie station, or they can hand their phone to somebody else to take their picture.
Right.
You know, but you're giving them a custom backdrop and the lighting and a place for people to be able to take selfies all night long. Like, this idea comes from, we've done photo booths and stuff before at events, and it's like, even when we do headshots at corporate events, and it blows my mind, we have to shut the station down at certain times and then say, hey, well, you know, session has started, you guys all have to go to the session at this convention, we're not allowed to be doing photos right now. And people will still come by and take selfies in front of our background.
Right.
And it's a black background.
Right.
with no lighting. And so, you know, but it could be, I mean, if you, I don't know what you charge for a photo booth with printing, but it's got to be significant. So if somebody's like, hey,
it's not that.
Know,
no, it's actually not. I don't charge a lot because it, to me, it's an add-on product. I mean, I get the occasional job like this one where I go do it just for a party, but most of the time it's an add-on to a wedding or to a bar mitzvah. So I wanted to make it less expensive than the people who do it only do that, so that people would just get it from me instead of going to another.
But
outside
just the cost
store.
Of making 100 prints.
You know? It's unbelievably cheap, Gary. They're like 10 cents a print.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Right on.
The box of media, 330 prints and ink is $50.
That's not bad.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's why, so like when it didn't work last night, then I was like, ah, throw that away. Okay, it's $50 is what I just lost because that ink, that entire roll of ink and everything didn't work for me. It's not that expensive. They're very cheap. So really, it's the cost of your operator and your initial setup, and the printer itself is pretty expensive. And I use a real camera, and I use a Alien B light with a shoot through umbrella, so I get good light. And my whole idea with my photo booth has always been, my pictures look better than all the other photo booths in town because I use a real photographer and I use an actual light, and instead of it being just some terrible. I mean, I've seen people set up with lights, I swear to God, they bought off the shelf at Target.
I really think that the selfie booth could be a thing.
But it would actually be a loss. I would lose money on it because I could not charge what I charge for a photo booth. And my cost right now for a photo booth is pretty low. The media and the cost of my operator. That's it. And I would spend almost that much money just on the step and repeat.
Yeah, I suppose you're right. Well, that's if you had to do a custom one. Like, you could have any background that you already own, and it wouldn't be an issue. Like, if you could offer an upgrade to say, even make a custom background for your event for an additional.
And you know what's great? I just picked up the Westcott X Flex Out, the X, the one you use for when you shoot headshots, your background system.
Yeah, the X drop.
I just picked one up this week, so I have it sitting there waiting for an excuse to use it.
Hey, there you have
it. That can be my selfie station thing.
And you can get backdrops for that thing for $50.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, this is a done deal. Now I've got the rest of my work is cut out for me for now. Now I've got to figure this out. I got to shoot it, and I got to put it on the website.
Enjoy the rest of your day.
Great. Oh, hey. Before we wrap this up, I need to mention, by the way, that I'm doing an Ask Me Anything on PPA's The Loop. If you are a PPA member, go to PPA.com and go to The Loop. And this week is my Ask Me Anything. I'll be speaking at Imaging USA in January. And during this week, you can go online and ask me anything, and I will hopefully answer your question. And one of the things we're doing this year that's kind of cool, why didn't we think of this in the past? We owe Sean for this. Sean was the first genius to come up with this idea. He realized it was much easier to just record your answer on your phone and upload it rather than have to type a two-page answer to every single question. So that's what we're doing. So when you ask a question on Ask Me Anything, I'll just record my answer to you so I can drone on for 15 minutes in the answer instead of having to type for 2 hours.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, so that's this week on The Loop.
So, all right, I'm going to get on there and ask you a bunch of great questions.
Please don't. What question could you possibly ask me that you don't already ask me on the show? Plus, you never ask me any questions on the show, either. You all know and all seeing.
I'm not really that interested
You're
in
really
it,
not. You're really not. Sad.
I'm usually interested more in, like, which flannel you're going to wear.
Yes, today it's the green.
The green flannel. Yeah,
I love flannel. I get to wear it like 3 weeks out of my entire year.
Yeah. And you wonder which Star Wars shirt I'm going to wear.
Which Star Wars shirt would you be wearing today?
I seriously owned one, maybe two Star Wars shirts that people, and they've all been given to me. I've never bought one.
Entered that zone where people just, now they think that's your thing.
I got three for my birthday. I got three more. So now I've got five. And here's the thing. They're really soft, really nice ones, and so they're really comfortable. And so now I'm just the guy that wears Star Wars shirts.
I like the Star Wars shirts that look like a vintage Star Wars shirt, except I don't like the fact that it's just made to look like a vintage shirt. I think it would be great if they didn't exist and you actually had a Star Wars shirt from 1977. That would be cool. But now if you see somebody wearing that, you're like, oh no, he just bought that at Target. Target has a whole rack of shirts that look like are made to look like they're 30 years old.
Yeah, but, you know. What are you going to do? Yeah.
All right. We need to wrap this thing up unless you have something more you need to add.
No, but just in case, happy Hanukkah and Kwanzaa and Christmas to everybody. And thanks for listening. If we may not have an episode for our for the week of Christmas.
I'm going to say we're not. I'm pretty much going to say we're not. I'm leaving.
You're going to be in a cabin.
I'm leaving town on Friday and I'm gone for a week.
Yeah, I'm not going anywhere, but I am going to be hanging out with my family and my kids.
So I don't
my
kids. Know. Yeah,
multiple kids.
Your kids, yes, you have kids now.
Multiple.
Still adjusting multiple to that. Kids.
Yeah, my daughters.
There is something to be said about you become a daddy when you have your first child, but when you have your second child, that's a step up in terms of how you think of yourself. It was for me. I'm like, oh, I have a daddy, but it's the one kid. It's like, you know, oh, you know, I have a cat. I have cats. Well, there's a difference between a cat owner who has a bunch of cats and a cat owner who has one cat. And it's the same thing with parents. I mean, you're a daddy with one kid, but when you're a daddy with multiple kids, well, now it's I'm the head of a family.
Oh, yes.
You know, I'm the patriarch. And now it's a bigger deal, I think.
And now I have to up my dad joke game.
Oh, man.
Big time. Yes. Like, I got one for you. You ready?
All right.
Okay. What kind of bees make milk?
I don't know, Gary.
Boobies.
That's not even appropriate. You should never, just for the record, you should never tell that child that joke.
Ellie thinks it's hilarious, by the way. She does.
You know, I've always liked if you're American on the left side of the bathroom and you're French on the right side of the bathroom, what are you when you're in the bathroom? European. That's the one I like. Good night.
Oh man, this is we could do dad jokes. We'll do a whole episode.
No, please don't. It'd be the least listened to episode we've ever done.
My daughter has started telling jokes. My older daughter Ellie, and she's just about to turn 3, and every joke is got poop in it.
Okay,
every joke.
Okay,
every joke has poop. So she said, "Daddy, why did the superheroes go to the villains?" And I said, "Honey, I don't know." She goes, "To poop on them."
That's some quality right there. For me to poop on.
2 years old. And that was
poop is
literally
funny,
the joke.
Dude, poop, yeah. Poop is some funny stuff. Poop is some funny, funny, funny stuff. I read an essay on Facebook this weekend that was hilarious about a woman who, unfortunately, in the middle of the night, her dog pooped on the rug, and then her Roomba hit it. And when she woke up in the morning, the Roomba had covered every inch of their house in poop. It just spread that poop throughout the entire house, like it was waxing the house in poop. And that's a nightmare come to life right there.
Yeah, that's nightmares forever.
All right. We have to go. Coming up, don't forget, in January, Imaging USA, I'll be there doing just Woo-hoo! A million things live. So look for me when I'm there. And please go to the PPA Facebook page and go to where it says subscribe and put that you want to get notifications from that page so that you will know when we go live from Imaging USA. We're going to be doing lots of giveaways from Imaging USA, and we're going to be doing some that I think that maybe you have to be present to win. So you'll want to know. You're on the trade show. You'll want your phone to beep and go, hey, beep, beep. Go over and find Bure at the Miller's booth because he's giving away blah, blah, blah. So set that up, and I will see you at Imaging USA, and Gary is going to England.
I will be in London at the Society's convention. Apparently, this is even bigger than I thought. I was looking at some of the numbers, and they apparently had 15,000 people at their trade show last year.
Wow.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty big event, so it should be fun. I've never done it before, but I will be giving 2 classes over the course of the event and judging in the print competition, so it should be a real good time. So if you are in London or can get there for that, go ahead. If not, go see Bure at Imaging USA. I am excited to set my notifications to watch you walk around the convention center with your Bob Barker microphone.
Yes, I have the big I have a mic flag on it and everything. You know, I have the big, you know, where it looks like ESPN Sports.
Woo!
Yes, I have
that. Dude, that is a very large flag on the microphone. You know, it's like, for those of you who can't see it, it's, you know, the big box that goes around, the one that says like MTV or whatever, CNN right. On the microphone. He's got that is comically large.
Yes. Well, no, it's a normal size. They're always big because you want to show up on camera. You know, so yeah, I'm going to be very PPA. By the way, I'm going to have the PPA flag, and then I'll be wearing a PPA shirt. So I'm going to look very much like a PPA person at Imaging USA, which is interesting.
I'm surprised you didn't get, because you always wear a blazer at convention. You always
sometimes.
Have sport coats. Sport coats,
yeah,
actually. You always have sport coats.
You know why? Padded shoulders, Gary.
Yeah, absolutely. They really do make you look a lot more manly.
Yes, I'm all. That's why I love blazers and these padded shoulders.
That's why you love the '80s. That was
right.
That was your time.
It was. It really was. I had a jean jacket in the '80s. I had a blue jean jacket that I sewed shoulder pads into it.
Oh, that's so rad.
Yeah. Still have it, by the way, in the closet.
I just want to see you pop into Stranger Things. Like, you'd be a perfect person in that. Yeah.
Perfect. All right, let's get out of here. You can find us online. All you have to do is go to our website, which is photobombpodcast.com. You can also find us on Facebook, which is where most of the fun happens. Go to facebook.com/photobombpodcast. You can find Gary at hughesfioretti.com.
Yes,
you can find me at BooRayPerry.com, and you can email us questions@photobombpodcast.com, and we will see you back here after the holidays.
See you later. Happy holidays and all that stuff that goes along with it. Enjoy arguing with your relatives.